So, I have good news this morning. It is December 27th, 2020 is almost over, everybody. We made it! I gotta be honest, sometimes it's like, man, this seems like the longest, like, year ever, right? It's been kind of rough. But we made it. This is the last worship service that we have scheduled for this year. Hopefully we don't have anything between now and Friday. At least I didn't plan for anything. So this is it. The next time I see you guys on a Sunday, it'll be 2021, and we have all kinds of bright future ahead of us. Let's all hope and pray. My goodness, it has been a long year. I can't wait to eventually get to the point, hope this time next year, hopefully we'll be talking about, oh, remember when we were all walking around and we couldn't get within 6 feet of each other and everybody had a mask on and they were, you're standing at the line in Walmart and they were only letting 2 and 3 people in at a time. Wasn't that wild? I can't wait till I can talk about that in the past tense. But we finally made it here. And as we project out into the new year, one of the things I want us to really think about, because 2020, if it has done nothing else for me, it has made me sit back and ponder and think about gratitude. It's made me think about things that I appreciate, and more specifically, how much value certain people and certain things have in my life. You know, it's like, until things are taken away from you, sometimes you just, it's not that you consciously take it for granted, but you just don't think about it very much, right? You know, I have to be honest, I was a little more sad than I thought I would be when Christmas is here, and we had a great time, you know, me and the kids and my wife, and, you know, we ate Waffle House because they're the only thing that was open, and because, you know, nobody wanted me to cook, really. So we had Waffle House. They got a bunch of presents. It was cool. But even just the short time that I would spend when we would go see our families, it was like we saw them on Zoom and we talked on the phone, but it just wasn't quite the same. It's something that I never thought about taking for granted, because most of the time I'm complaining about the fact that I have to drive halfway across the country to go visit them. And this year was a little bit different because it was like, even if I wanted to, they probably weren't going to open the door. But it just, this year was a little bit different. I appreciate the fact that I still have my parents, that I still can call and talk to my mom and my dad. And I think about how there's no amount of money. Those of you who've lost your parents, those of you who may be a little older than me and your parents have been gone for a while, there's no amount of money, there's no amount of value that you could put, that somebody can say, well, would it be worth this much money to you if you could just sit and have a day where you could sit in a park and talk to your dad or your mom, or maybe a son or a daughter or a brother, a neighbor, somebody you grew up with, a friend. There's certain things you just can't put value on. They're absolutely priceless. And when we think about how we live, one of the things that has changed me forever in 2020 is how I'm going to live moving forward, because there are just certain things that I just can't quite put a price tag on. And what I want to talk about today is how sometimes we can do this thing where if someone were to ask us, well, what matters to you? What's valuable to you? And we could come up with a long list. We could come up with tons of things that we consider to be important. But on days like Christmas, we come up on a new year, we think of people who we've lost. We think of people or relationships that we no longer have access to. We think about those things, and it's like, you know what? I need to live as though each one of those relationships, each one of those people. It could be the person you're sitting next to right now. If you're watching me on Zoom right now, you might be at home with your family, still kind of hanging out over the holidays. And nobody goes into the new year thinking, you know what, this is the last new year. We're going to have New Year's celebration. The ball's going to drop. And, you know, we're going to, you know, have, I don't know, apple juice, champagne, some of you. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you guys celebrate. We don't do much. We kind of, my wife, we kind of kiss each other and we go to sleep. Because we're old now. We're tired. No hanging out. I remember when my first year, my wife and I, we spent New Year's together. This was before we were married. It was 1999. We're going into 2000. I had just met my wife a few months before that, and we were out on a date. Now, the thing was, we went out for New Year's, and that was our first New Year's together. It was 2000. Remember, everybody was scared because they were like, be careful. All the computers are going to stop. Everything, the electrical grid is going to shut down, and Y2K, and everybody was panicking, spending all this money, and nothing happened. Right? That was our first New Year's together. And I was thinking, I'm not going into 2021 as though this is the last time I'm going to be able to spend time with my wife for New Year's. I'm not planning on that. But then again, there's so many things we weren't planning on when we were coming into 2020. And so the question I want us to all ponder and really think about is, what is the one thing that we can do different this year coming up that would actually have an impact on somebody that matters? The title of the lesson today is Pick One. Pick one, because, see, sometimes people, you know, we talk about this every year. People come up with their New Year's resolutions, and then there became this fad where everybody was like, stop coming up with New Year's resolutions because you're not going to follow through with them anyway. And you know, one of the most popular ones is people that go to the gym, right? It's January. I got a my buddy, the guy who trains me, his name is Doug, works over at Club Fitness. And he knows that I used to actually manage at a fitness club years ago in Cincinnati. January is always the most popular time at the gym because everybody has decided, you know what? I was already out of shape. Then Christmas and Thanksgiving holidays and depression and all this stuff, all it's been the worst. I picked up all these pounds. Now I'm going to lose them. In January, it gets packed. In February, it's slightly less packed. March is even more scarce, the people that all signed up. And then before you know it, like April, May, and June, July, basically, it's free money for the gym because you're still paying for your membership because you've convinced yourself that you're going to go back eventually. It's just been a bad, you know, it's been a rough patch. And then by July or August, you're like, I'll just walk outside. And you cancel your membership. But it happens every year. It's one of the biggest things that everybody does. They say, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to knock off these extra 20 pounds. I'm going to do something. Or you say, I'm going to save money. I'm going to stop buying all these different things. And we come up with these long lists of all these things. We get really idealistic. We tell ourselves all these things we're going to do. And for some people, it's, you know, 5, 10 different things. Some people, it's literally, they've written down dozens of things that are going to change and be different. And sometimes the best thing to do, I was reading this sometime back, it's been years, they said, but the problem with New Year's resolutions isn't necessarily that you can't attain them or that you can't achieve them or that you can't accomplish anything. Problem is we try to do so much instead of finding the thing that's most important to you. What's having the most impact on your life? What is the one thing that will make the biggest difference? And just focus on that and follow through with that. I'm reminded of something that Steve Hawkins, we were talking about this. This has been some time. But we were talking about some different things we were looking at doing in the church. He said, you know what we should really do? And I'm waiting for an idea. I'm waiting for this, you know, this creative idea. He said, what we should really do as a church is just pick one thing and then do that. And do that thing well. And make that a hallmark. Make that something that we have mastered and then move on. See, it's a different approach. And I want to tie this all together, but first, I think of choices. And because I live in proximity to Wendy's, and this is one of my children's favorite places, and because I don't like spending a whole lot of money, the 4 for $4 menu right down the street here at Wendy's comes to mind. I think of choices. Now, what's interesting is even the drive-thru can be frustrating for me Because you would think that it'd be the same thing. But every time we get there, it's like, what do you want? Now, if I just go and order the same thing we've always ordered every time, then it's like, well, yeah, but you didn't even ask me. I didn't want that this time. Well, what did you want different? You get the nuggets every single time. And you get the same burger every time. You get the same drink every time. But yet we still get so caught up in all of these choices. We get confused. It becomes difficult, right? McDonald's, they do this. They get you, you know, stuff. I don't eat a whole lot of McDonald's, but my kids do. And the 2 for $5, and I'm thinking, you know what, I have $5, and I have hungry children at home. $5, I can get 2 things, right? But what 2 should I get because, you know, they're never satisfied, right? We get all these choices. Here's one, you know, Burger King decided, no, $5 isn't enough. We want that extra dollar, right? So we're going to do 2 for $6. And the beauty of this, and we'll talk about this in a second, the beauty of these advertisements is that none of the sandwiches, none of the nuggets, none of these things they offer on the menu and that you see in these ads ever look like that when you pick it up out of your bag, right? This is like the prettiest grouping of sandwiches ever. I don't even like the spicy chicken, but I'd probably eat this one just because of how beautiful it is. It never looks like that, right? This one, if those of you who are not from, we're from the Midwest, and they have a place called Captain D's. Captain D's, yeah. So I see some people nodding. Captain, you can appreciate this. Captain D's. And it's funny, every time I go to Kentucky, for the longest, I would go and I would visit Louisville. And anytime I would go there, I would go and I was trying to curry favor from Sharice's grandmother at the time. And so every time I showed up, I would go and I'd visit her grandmother, and I would go to Captain D's and I would get her this fish meal. Now, for whatever reason, it wasn't $4.99 back when I was doing it. They just started this. But I would get her the fish combo, and we would sit down and we'd eat. This is fun. You get all these choices, right? And sometimes when we think about our faith, there's so many things we want to do. We want to grow. We want to become more like Christ, and I want to be more sacrificial, and I want to be more loving, and I want to be more joyful, and I want to be at peace, and I want to trust God, and I want all these things. But in reality, the one thing that's staring in our face, the one thing that's really holding us back the most, is the one thing that if we're going to do something different in 2021, we need to focus on that one thing. And I want to talk about that one thing. Because let's face it, it may be a little different for you than it is for me. I want to look at an example of this in Mark chapter 10, excuse me, starting in verse 17. Read through this. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father, or children, or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. This example that we're reading here of this young guy who had an awful lot of money. He was very wealthy. We see this, and it's actually chronicled not only here in Mark, but we see the same thing in Luke and in Matthew. And I chose this particular one for two reasons. One, because I always love where it says Jesus looked at him and he loved him. He loved him, meaning I love you enough to tell you the truth. I love you enough to tell you the hard things. I love you enough to tell you that actually you're missing the mark here. You're coming up short. And you know, notice where they go through everything. He says, well, you know, he says you need to, you know, honor your father and mother and, you know, don't defraud and don't commit adultery. He's telling them all these things that you have to do. And he says, but I've been doing all this since I was a little boy. Like, clearly, I'm in compliance because I've been doing all these things. And he said, but there's the one thing that you lack. And see, this is very fitting when we think about our lives. We think about our faith. How it is that we approach not only our understanding of God, but how we live for him. What he's telling this young man is not just about money. I'm sure some of you at home right now are thinking, no, I'm so grateful for virtual worship service because I'm saving on gas. I had to burn up all my gas driving over there. Like, let's face it, I don't know everybody's financial situation, but I think it's safe to say that none of us would be considered a rich and wealthy young man or woman. But that's really ultimately not the point. Yes, it's germane to him and his situation, but Jesus is making a larger point here about this man and his wealth. It's not just the wealth, it's the attachment that he has to it. Which means there's a sacrifice there. See, for somebody to say, hey, walk away from all my money, I'd be like, oh, you mean all my fortunes? You know, all my couple hundred dollars, right? You know, you think, oh, absolutely, if that's all I got to give up. But no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying there's something that you are attached to. There's something here that you value. And if you can't give up that which you value the greatest for me, then eternal life isn't coming for you. There's a lot of things that when we think about our faith and our walk with God, we understand the concepts, we've read the Bible, but are we willing to take that which we value the most and say, I'm willing to sacrifice that? Where we place the most value in life is often the hardest thing for us to sacrifice. You think about life itself. How much do you value your very life? Whenever we come together, whenever we take the communion, whenever we are praying, we always do it in Jesus' name. Why? Because Jesus gave his life. You just can't get much more precious than life itself. And yet that example is what Christ needs us to follow because that's what the world needs more than anything. That's what the world needs more than the vaccine and more than $600 or $2,000 from the government. What the world needs more is people who say that they represent Christ to be willing to give up that very thing that they value the most for him and his purpose and his will. See, that's why I said it could be very different because you might say, well, I don't have a whole lot of money. Well, maybe you have plenty of time. Well, maybe you have plenty of knowledge. Maybe you can serve in some particular way, but it requires you to sacrifice something to do it. Maybe there's a person in your life that you value. And it may not necessarily mean you would have to, quote unquote, give them up, but it requires you to do something different. And you're like, but I don't want to really talk to them too. I don't want to push them too hard. I don't really want to challenge their faith. I don't really want to call them to Christ because I don't want to jeopardize the relationship. I value it too much. I don't want to put it at risk. And so for all the choices and all the just plethora of ideas and things that we could look forward to in 2021 and say, that I want to do this and I want to be better at this and I even want to do this thing for God, we have to ask ourselves, what does God most want from us? What is the sacrifice that's going to need to be made for us to get that one thing done? You know, I was thinking about this in relation to presents. The kids, they were opening presents, and you can always, kids will always tell on themselves, even if they don't say a word. You can always tell which present they like the most because my daughter, she's so transparent. She, like, opens a present, I like this. Then she opens the second present, and then she kind of looks, okay, I like this one more, I'll sit it to the side. And then she opens another one, I still like this one, I'm going to put this to the side. Like, they cling to that thing that they like the most, right? That's kind of how presents work. Some of you are looking at me like, I haven't gotten that many presents in so many years. I don't remember what it's like to be a kid. Tell me more. Well, you think about, and I saw this, and said, what counts as a gift? Now, this is talking about, according to the government, what you pay taxes on, right? A gift is something, it says, that the IRS considers a gift any transfer of cash or property in which the donor doesn't receive something of equal value in return. Not all gifts are taxable. It gives an example here of making a loan to a friend and not charging them interest, right? Like, the idea of gifts and giving, the idea of giving of something. See, that's a concept that we can all appreciate and we can understand it. We can make sense of it. We're smart enough to understand it. But do we understand the gift that Christ has given us? Do we share that as though it is that priceless gift? Do we look at our relationships, do we look at the people who are closest to us and think, you know what? I want to give them something that may be a sacrifice to me, but I know that they need it. Because when we think about presents, we think about even a loan or something. We can understand how that matters. But when it comes to people and their salvation, sometimes, you know, we can hold back. We can forget how important it is, the gift of life, eternal life, in fact, really is. I want to look at one more passage talking about this. I saw this quote, not sure who this person was it was accredited to, but it says, the true value of a gift is the sentiment behind the gifting. The sentiment behind it. You know, I was thinking of how there are certain gifts that my kids have given me over the years, and let's face it, I could put a monetary value on it. Might not be but a few pennies, if that. But it's because it came from my son or my daughter, because it came from my wife, because it came from my parents. That's the value in it. We were going through stuff, and yesterday I happened to see this giant letter B. It's a letter that my wife received in high school because she was in the orchestra, so it was her varsity letter, right? And she's like, I don't even know how this got out here. And then she immediately takes it and kind of tucks it away, hides it. There are things that we accumulate that we can't actually put a price on how precious it is. And if I were to give it to you, what you can't then do is say, well, I appraise this to be worth $50. Because it's not how much you can appraise it for that matters, but it's the sentiment, is the heart that's behind it. Do we value and appreciate what God has given us with mercy and forgiveness in that way? Well, look at a passage that many of us are familiar with, Luke chapter 15. We'll finish it here. In verse 8, it says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, this story, on the surface, it can look like it's talking about, you know, a pocket full of dimes or something, right? A pocket full of nickels. Like, it's talking about some actual change. And yet, what Jesus is talking about right before this passage that we just read, he talks about these lost sheep, right? And we know the story of the lost sheep where he's got these, you know, 100 sheep, and there's 99 here, but one of them runs away. And so what does he do? He goes after the one lost sheep. Even after this, he's talking about the son who leaves and then eventually returns. See, this value, Jesus is trying to get across to the people who are listening to him. Even in this story about these coins, what we understand about these coins is these weren't just like me reaching in my pocket and handing you some money. What happened was women back then would get these coins as wedding gifts. This would be tokens showing this would be a token, a memento, something that would signify when they got married. It's kind of like when you may have gotten married, or like I said about the letter, when you graduate from high school or whatever it is. It's not about the actual item itself, but what it means. Something your mother or your father gave to you. If it gets lost, if it gets stolen, it's not about that particular thing. It's about, I can never get that one back because that's the one that my mother gave me. That's the one that my father gave me. Someone steals your car, someone, you lose your house in a fire, or someone breaks in. See, these things that can never be replaced, those pictures you can never get back. That's what this is talking about here. She's sweeping all over the place trying to find something, not because of the monetary value of it, but because of what it meant to her, where it came from. And when we think about moving forward into 2021, if we've learned nothing else from 2020, is that there are certain things you can't place a value on. Think about fellowship. Think about how many of you are watching on Zoom right now, and it's great that we're able to connect in this way, but you know, because you have an underlying condition, or because you're contagious, or because somebody else is contagious, you know you can't be here. Think about how often we've come here on a Sunday and you rush right out. You don't fellowship. Think of how many times you said, I'm going to give this person a call. How many times you said, you know, one of these days I'm going to go take Miss Mary Bays out for lunch, or I'm going to hang out with this or that or the other person. We take these things for granted. We just assume there'll be another time. We never assume that we're going to lose it or that it'll be gone forever. Our faith in God is priceless, and we can't put a monetary value on what it brings. There are so many things that when we look back at this past year, we can get so caught up on the struggles and the strains that COVID-19 has caused us, that we can lose the message. We can lose what God is trying to get us to understand. And what he's trying to get us as Christians to understand is we have to put our value in the right things. There's one thing that counts. There's one thing that matters. And that's us being in relationship with God so we know where our eternity lies. Are we going to be different? Are we going to just become more book smart, and we're going to memorize more scriptures, or we're going to put certain principles in place, and are we going to do all these things that, kind of like the rich ruler, where I've done all these things since I was a little boy, but are we going to value eternal life in such a way that says, I'm going to be different? Are we going to chase after helping other people find eternal life? Because that's ultimately what matters. I shared, you know, about my mom, my dad, and talking to them, and I'm grateful that I can still talk to them. Here's the thing. There's a comfort I have in knowing both of my parents and their relationship with God. And so I'm not worried if something happens to them today, as sad as I will be, I am comforted in knowing that they lived a life for God. I was sharing earlier this morning during Sunday school how one of my best friends growing up, his name is David, him and his brothers Michael and Stephen, we all were really close growing up in our neighborhood. And I woke up this morning to find out that his mother, who wasn't sick, she didn't have COVID-19, she wasn't battling with cancer or heart disease, she died unexpectedly. Last year, his brother Michael, we were the same age, we were in art school together. He died unexpectedly. No underlying condition, no nothing. And just like they weren't planning going into 2020 without their brother Michael, they weren't planning on going into 2021 without their mom. See, when that happens to you, suddenly you clutch and you hold on to your family a little more dearly. Suddenly you appreciate and value that 10 or 15 minute conversation just a little bit more. What are we going to do with our 2021? What are you going to do with the gift that God has given you? You know how to find him. You know how to have a relationship with him. You know what it means to have that peace of being with God. As a church, there's a lot of things we can do differently in the community. There's a lot of ways in which we could bring other people in and we could give and serve and do these things. Who are you going to help find God in 2021? And like I said earlier on, you know, there's literally countless choices of people. You know lots of people. You know dozens of people. Who's one? Who's one person that you can share your faith with? Who's one person that you can bring close to God? Who's one person who in 2020 isn't right with God that can be because of the work that you're willing to invest? God wants to use you to do it. Not hundreds of people, and that would be great, but not hundreds of people. Not dozens of people, not 10 people. Who's one person? What's one family? What's one marriage that could be saved because of your willingness to sacrifice and invest in them? I'll close with a few questions. In what way, and these are all really simple, very direct, in what one way, and I stress one way, because I don't want us to get overwhelmed. I don't want us to think about all the failings and all the shortcomings we have. What's one way that I can grow closer to God in 2021 through sacrifice and humility? What's one thing that you can grow closer to God that would increase your faith, that would allow you to see God differently? What's one way in which you can grow closer to God? What's one way in which I can show Christ to others in 2021 through sacrifice and humility? What's one way in which, because of your commitment and willingness to sacrifice something to God that you hold dear, that maybe you don't want to change, maybe you don't want to be different, maybe you don't feel like it should fall on you to have to be this, well, why can't it be someone else? Well, it's really their responsibility. What's one way in which you can sacrifice and show humility that will reflect and show Christ to other people? Not just growing closer to God and in your knowledge and your faith for yourself, but what's one way in which the world would be different? The people around you in your neighborhood and at your workplace, the people that you see at the gym, the people that you see at your community events, what's one way in which you can show Christ in 2021? What's one thing I'm committed to doing better and more of to further God's kingdom? How will this church, this congregation, grow in 2021 because of my commitment and my investment. What's one thing you could do differently that would allow God's church, his kingdom, to grow? What's one thing? Because let's face it, we've all got plenty of things we could do differently. You know, there's plenty of ways in which we fall short. What's the one thing? What's the most important thing that you could do differently, that you could give up, that you would have to? It would be a sacrifice. It would be a challenge. Some people think, well, you know what? Yeah, I could give more money. But that may not be a sacrifice for you. Maybe you have it to give. What Jesus was calling this rich young man to do was sacrifice that which was most important to him. And if we're honest, if we're going to have an honest moment here, and we're at church, so we should probably be honest, right? But in an honest moment, let's face it. The sacrifice isn't just the money. The sacrifice isn't just in material things and giving and showing up for worship. Sometimes the sacrifice is in your own personal time, right? What's the one thing that you could do differently, that you could do better, that you could do more of, that would make a difference, not just in attendance, not just in people being part of this congregation, but the fact that, well, you know what? It's not just more people that are going to be here, because eventually, you know, people start showing back up to church and more vaccines, and there'll be less risk of COVID-19. But when you see more bodies in seats, do you relate to those bodies as people with souls? Do you relate to those as not just counting numbers and seeing the numbers that show up when we put the attendance, but that you actually realize, you know what? Instead of there being 45 or 50 people here, there's 80 or 90 people here. And that part of that 80 and that 90 is that somebody in 2020 who did not know what it meant to have a real relationship with God. And because I was willing to study the Bible with them, because I was willing to pray with them, because I was willing to help them see who God is, because I was willing to take time. And it does take time. It means a sacrifice on your part. But because I'm willing to do it, God's kingdom advanced. Because see, that one person for you, that one person that maybe you helped them get to the waters of baptism, who knows what that one person is going to do? Who knows what's going to happen when you plant that seed? She's going to be really angry for me sharing this, but I remember a few years ago sitting down and having lunch with Denise, and we were just sitting there talking, and Denise, as humble as she is, she didn't think much of herself. She's like, oh, well, you know, I mean, I just try to be a good Christian, and I want to do my part and everything. But, you know, I'm just kind of here, you know. And I do my best, and I try to talk to people about God. And just in that, you know what, I just talk to people. And when it happens, it happens. But she's like, I'm not the best Christian. She doesn't think very highly of herself. But I tell you whose life was made different because of her being willing to talk to somebody about God. We have a sister, Melissa. Somebody had to talk to Melissa. Somebody had to say, hey, you know what, Melissa, you need to come to church. This would really help you out. And she planted that seed, like Dennis was talking about, how planting the seed, how we don't do all of it. You know, we're not responsible for every aspect of it, but it's got to start somewhere. What seed are you going to plant in 2020 that's going to grow in 2021 and make a difference long after you're gone? Because I contend that Melissa is going to change people's lives. She's going to have an impact on people's lives, but it started with somebody being willing to say, you know what, I'm just going to invite them to church. I'm just going to tell them that you need to get closer to God. What's the one thing that you're going to do differently, do better, do more of, that's going to make a difference in this church? And finally, what one person, couple, or family can I have a direct impact on this year? Who's on my list to reach out to in 2021? You know, we make lists of New Year's resolutions all the time. You know, we make lists of things that we're going to do. And, you know, we can come up with maybe, you know, I don't know how many people, you know, you can come up with all kinds of people that you know. And yet, sometimes it's the one that's closest to home. It's that one individual. It's that one family that you know of who's struggling the most. It's that brother or that cousin or that auntie or that parent. But you know what? This is tough. This is a challenge. This might cause some friction in my relationship with this person. And I love them and I value them. And I really don't want to sacrifice it in that way. But just like this young man with all the wealth, he had everything, but he wasn't willing to give it up for what was most important. Maybe there's something that's holding you back. Maybe you know that you're not right with God, and you need to be, but you don't want to give up this thing. Or maybe you just don't want to have to be open about the fact that you don't want to give up this thing, or you just can't seem to overcome this thing, and you're holding on to this thing because you're holding on to your image. You're holding on to your reputation. You're holding on to not wanting to disappoint somebody with them knowing the truth. You're holding on to all these things. You won't come clean. You won't deal with it. You're holding on to it. And that's the one thing that could be different about 2021. Because let's face it, nobody is guaranteed to get through 2021. Fact is, we still got a few more days to go. You're not even guaranteed to get to 2021. So what are you going to do different? What's going to be different about 2021? Is it just going to be vaccines and stimulus checks and a new president, or maybe something's going to be different at your job? You're going to, you know, get a raise, or maybe you'll, whatever it is. What's actually going to be different that matters? What's the one thing you can do that would actually make a difference? Ultimately, to God.